When you think of crooners, what comes to mind? Maybe Bing Crosby singing in the moonlight to a pretty blonde. Perhaps Rudy Vallee in the early talkies with his megaphone. Or if you're old enough, you might remember a big band singer from a New York nightclub on the radio late at night. But have you heard of a card-carrying crooner in the old tradition called Russ Columbo?
Sweetheart, here's a little proposition that I've been wishing I could reveal.
Russ Columbo performed more than 70 years ago, when this kind of music was considered scandalously seductive.
Here are you, and here am I. No moon in view, no star on high. But it's a lovely night to spoil. Let's pretend there's a moon.
To our modern ears, the crooners themselves sound sort of schmaltzy, kind of corny. But back in the day, right-thinking people worried that the croon could make women lose their heads. The croon outlived its critics and went on to influence popular styles from Elvis to punk. Music critic and occasional crooner Lenny Kaye has written a history of this vocal form titled You Call It Madness, The Sensuous Song of the Croon. He joins me with his guitar from our New York bureau. Lenny Kaye, welcome.
Welcome. It's very lovely to be here.
So tell me, what do you consider a crooner? Is it anyone who sings a lyrical love ballad, or is there some other way to think about it?
Well, I'd say it's a very heated form of singing. It was almost some of the first intimate singing ever recorded, since the microphone had just been invented and someone could speak like they're whispering in your ear. It was really a revolution in performance style, and for me, it was almost the beginning of what we consider 20th century popular music. I mean, to me, there would be no Elvis Presley without Bing Crosby.
Love Me Tender and all of that.
Exactly.
Could you demonstrate what you think is like the signature croon sound? Cuddle up to the microphone and give us something?
One of the things about the croon is that it was a kind of wordless music. It was the voice as a musical instrument. And so when someone would kind of sing an interlude or a bridge, it would be kind of and this kind of wordless song enters what I consider the language of love. Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day. Someone waits for me, and the gold of her hair crowns the blue of her eyes like a halo tenderly. If only I could see her, whoa, how happy life could be. Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
I was going to say, I'd be revealing my age, but I remember that blue of the night. That was Bing Crosby, right?
That was
his signature song.
It was his theme song, and actually his arch rival in 1931, Russ Columbo, kind of scooched him a little bit by recording it 5 days before Bing, resulting in one of the wars of the Battle of the Baritones, as it was called, in the fall of 1931.
Now, you call your book You Call It Madness, and that was the trademark song of Russ Columbo,
right,
who is also on the cover of the book. When we think of crooners now, obviously we do think of Bing Crosby. So why did you pick Russ Columbo?
Well, I'd say Russ Columbo picked me in a very strange hindsight of fate. I was driving along Interstate 80 about 4 o'clock in the morning one night about 10 or 12 years ago, and I'm on a random radio station, one of the great things that radio does for you late at night. And a disc jockey is talking about Russ Colombo and his untimely end and his love affair with Carol Lombard. And I thought, who is Russ Colombo? I never heard of him. So I started researching who he was. From that, it was kind of an entry into his world, a nice way in which to look at this era and to understand it and to see who's who, to look at these people who were kind of legends to me, but I didn't quite know why.
Since you named the book after a song, could you mm-hmm. could you sing a little bit of that song for us, Call It Madness?
Okay, so, I'll play what is known in the trades as a chorus.
That would be good.
I can't forget the night I met you. That's all I'm thinking of. Now you call it madness. Ah, but I call it love. I'm Russ Colombo.
You're a rock critic. You've written for Rolling Stone and for other publications. But the style of this book kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit of Walter Winchell. It's a little bit novelistic. It's a very different way to write a book that is also a history of crooning. What about reading us a portion?
Well, one of the things I thought when I was writing this book is the sound and the musicality of language. As a musician, I'm very aware that sometimes when you listen to lyrics, you're not just really hearing the lyrics, but you're hearing their inflections and the way they kind of move along the musical scale. So when I started thinking about the root of the word crooning, I focused on its sound, which was the double O of ooh. And at one point I wrote, yoo-hoo, boo-hoo, the double O of crooning, a circle squared, times two, or should we say two. It is one of the predominant vowel sounds of the 20s. Witness Betty Boop, the archetypal cartoon flapper, all rolling saucer eyes. More 30s role modeling, 20s singer Helen Kane squeaking boop boop a doop. She was nostalgic even in her modernity. The rounding of the lips, preliminary to a kiss. The slight purse, a prime sound, primal. Ooh. O plus O. It exerts a magnetism over the language of seduction. We woo, soothe, swoon, perhaps with your favorite quadroon or octoroon. This is a time for the races to cross the musical color line, mix and mongrel, to move back and forth in a dance that will procreate the American popular music of the 20th century.
Lenny Kaye plays guitar in the Patti Smith Group. His book is called You Call It Madness, the Sensuous Song of the Croon. And you can hear more Colombo crooning at npr.org. Lenny Kaye, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.